Binging. My name is Natalie.
I'm Christy, her mom.
Ignore the fact that we're laughing. I will not repeat the joke.
No.
We'll be discussing Severance Season 1, Episode 1, Good News About Hell.
You didn't know there was good news about hell, but apparently, at least in this dystopian future, past, whatever the fuck this is.
Past.
I don't think that old tech for sure. I mean, like, seriously,
but
old
like
tech.
Modern phones. So I think we're still.
Hard to say. It is dystopian. But in this dystopian universe that we have, are going to have disclaimers. We already have been cursing. So there's cursing. There will be spoilers for this show, which is Severance. And if you've not watched it, is an interesting take on corporate and religious and cultural things. So it is definitely thought-provoking and worth watching. But we also are having something that Natalie suggested.
Sprite.
And do you know why I agree to this? Yes, I know why I agree to it, because a long, long time ago, on commercials for Sprite, the flavor of Sprite was referred to as Lyman. And this matters because what?
Lumen.
Lumen is the corporate bad guy, I guess, of this show. So that made sense to me. And of course, Sprite's good. We like Sprite.
We do. Okay, so Severance Season 1, Episode 1, Good News About Hell. So, there's going to be a lot of... I think, honestly, for this, we can go ahead and just rip the Band-Aid off and tell you what Severance is.
Yeah.
So that it's easier for us to compartmentalize
the show.
Notes.
Yep.
So essentially what Severance is you are a worker who is going to be on a specific severed floor. It's the basement of the building. And you are going to undergo a brain operation where they put in some kind of
implant
to bifurcate your memories. So while you're at work in that space, it's spatially conscious. While you are at work, you will not remember anything from your life in the outside world. You will remember things like what a U.S. state is and can name, like, you can use your expertise while down there, but you do not remember any of your personal memories while, including your own name, while on the severed floor.
Right. You don't know anything about, like, say, whatever you did as a job before you came into the job on the seventh floor.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of other gaps. A lot of that gets explored and discussed in different episodes of this show. So we'll just kind of address those as they go on. But the basics are you don't know who you are. And so everything seems very, you're basically a worker bee.
On the severed floor.
On the severed floor.
On the outside, they're called innies and outies. Innies are the ones that are at work and only know work and none of your personal stuff. Outies are you're on the outside of work. You don't remember anything that you do at work. You basically snap your fingers at 9 a.m. You go down the elevator, snap into a different reality. Don't remember it. And then you basically just wake up at like 5:15 or whenever you are allowed to leave. And
as soon as you are out, yeah.
And you just continue on with your day, and you don't remember anything that happened during the 8 hours you were there.
Right. So that obviously is great for confidential work, that kind of thing. And the idea is that, oh, well, you're leaving work at work and it's not going to like bleed over into your personal life, that kind of thing. But you also don't.
It's like a seesaw.
Right. Yeah, that's what they say in the corporate materials. But there's also a thing where you don't know anybody that you work with.
Mm-hmm.
So that is an interesting.
They
aside.
Also they stagger when you come in and when you leave, so that you don't have any overlap, and so you genuinely don't remember like who you are working with. And so everything's kept separate for the betterment or the worse for your life, depending. We get to see a lot of different ways in which that affects people's lives, but we'll see more of those different views later on in the show. But we are fo mostly focusing on one person. That person is Mark S.
Yes.
And
Marcus is played by
Andrew Adam
Adam
Scott,
Scott,
not Andrew Scott,
not
but
Anderson.
I think both of them would do great in this role. But Adam Scott in particular is fantastic in this role. I
Yeah.
love him in this.
Yeah.
And so, actually, what we actually start on is Helly. Helly R wakes up in her innie, as her innie, and she
On a
just.
boardroom table.
What a crazy place to put somebody. Why on the table? Why couldn't you just put them in a chair? That's crazy. But yeah,
Don't know.
she's on a boardroom table. She wakes up to Mark probing her and being like, hey,
Not physically.
on not physically. Oh my
Verbally.
God. No. But not yet. But
God, spoiler. Anyway,
but
so Mark is, he's basically this disembodied voice that's speaking to
it's
her.
a radio, Mom.
And well, right, but she's very, disoriented and upset. And she's even physically like having trouble walking, that kind of thing. So he is reading from his manual on a survey that she's supposed to take basically to verify that she doesn't know who she is. It's
Yeah.
kind of
But still
hilarious.
has use of her brain.
Yeah.
Which, hence, there are like five questions. Most of them are about who you are. And then there's a random one like name a US state,
Which she can do.
which she can do. Which she chooses Delaware, which is not a sleeper pick.
Yeah.
I often forget about Delaware. No offense to Delaware. But yeah, she completes the survey and he's like, perfect score. But then we flashback to how his morning has gone, and it begins with him, his Audi, crying in a car. That feeling when it's a,
It's really bad.
especially I think it's a Friday morning when you're in your in the parking lot at work and you just need a good cry. Well, this seems to happen to him all the fucking
Which,
time.
as you'll see over time, is understandable.
Yeah, he's very depressed, and we'll talk about why in a second. But he is crying in his car in the parking lot at work. He gets out, he checks in at the front desk. He takes off all of his personal belongings. He gets double checked by security. Then he goes down the elevator and changes in his mind, changes into his innie self. Another thing I would like to note is it's not two separate bodies. You are all one body. It's just your brain that changes. So anything that happens to any mark happens to Audi mark.
Right. And I want to add too, like, this is so well thought through by the corporation that they have different IDs. Like, he has an ID that has his picture on it to get into the building,
A picture and
but
probably his full name.
yeah. And he changes to something that has no picture on it for the severance floor. He puts his watch,
He changed, yeah, he
yeah, he
changes
puts his
watches.
watch. And, it's like, that's a really,
It's a
it just,
less, it seems like a more dated watch too.
more
Everything on
dated.
the severed floor is very dated.
It's very analog-ish, which is why I keep, mentioning this seems to be a kind of out of time. It's not
Yes.
like a specific time, but yeah, when they go down to the severance floor, the tech that they're working on look like your old Apple, computer
It
from
only
20.
seems to have a couple of
Actually,
functions.
they're IBM, but still.
It only seems to have a couple of functions, not any access to like internet or anything like that. Clearly, there's like a system, but it's not connected to anything larger, which
Or
I'm
you're
sure
not
on
allowed
other
to
floors
see.
is not the case. They probably have access to whatever they need, but these people are only seemingly working on, they call it macro data refinement. And so whatever the fuck that means, we'll probably hear more about the bullshit that they feed them
Right, but
later.
as an example, so Helly R has to have this orientation that Mark is supposed to do, but they have to go to all the trouble of plugging in a specific new monitor, a new PC for Mark to do that. They don't like have one set up to use for this. It's like it's
It's
really
very,
strange.
very bare bones office. There's so much empty space in it, which is
There are
unlike
very few
any office
people.
I've been in, but
Yeah.
like maybe that's just because I've been in smaller offices. But
No, but it's all that open floor plan. Everybody's got.
but everybody's confined to to cubicles that are connected. So it's not
Yeah,
like
you got
they're
like a
that
four,
far apart.
right? You got a four cubicle thing where you can't see each other when you're actually working, but there's this huge amount of space in the room around you. It's like it's
It's crazy.
ridiculous.
So let's talk really quickly about the hierarchy and the coworkers. So the hierarchy, from what we can tell, is the just faceless, voiceless at this point, board members are the highest. Then we've got Miss Cobell, who is like
The manager, she's
the top manager.
yeah.
Not and then we got middle management, which is Mr. Milchick. And I love him. He's so
Irving,
funny. No, I said Mr.
okay,
Milchick,
I'm sorry.
mother. And
Yeah.
but I also love Irving. We have Irving, and who seems to be the oldest of the group. And
Of the
then,
yeah, of the peer level of workers.
yeah, so we've got Irving. We've got Dylan. I don't think they even said Dylan's name in this
They
episode. I
did
had to
not.
double check that it was Dylan because I was worried my memory was not remembering. Then we've got obviously Mark, and Helly is now replacing Petey, who was Mark's best friend, who got let go by the company very recently. And
Yeah.
this is a shock to Mark. He doesn't like it, but now he is the whatever useless thing that they're calling him. He's acting department chief.
Yeah, because Petey has left, and they won't tell him why. They're like, we can't let you do have an assault on his personal information. It's like this is it's such corporate doublespeak. It's the
Well,
worst
in
kind.
essence, they said they signed, there was an NDA, and so we can't tell you.
Yeah, but yeah,
So.
you gotta love that. And we didn't talk about the cast. Miss Cobell is Patricia Arquette, who is great. John Turturro is Irving. Fantastic, but
Oh, so good.
there's no weak link here.
No, there absolutely isn't. Oh, what's the name of Mr. Milchick's actor?
Mr. Check.
It's right
Oh,
there.
I'm sorry. Tramell Tillman.
I love him.
He's great.
He's so
He's
good.
great.
He's so chaotic. I love him. But like a very measured chaos. I love it. We'll talk about that more later. But yes, that is the hierarchy. And now Helly is replacing Petey. And that's going to be a whole thing. Helly is very violent and very, I say violent. Her choice is violence to get her out of a very strange situation,
I
which
can't
I
blame
can't blame her
her.
that that's like, I mean, as a woman, that should probably be your immediate reaction to like men trying to talk to you
Fight
through
and
the
flight.
radio and locked you in a room. Yeah, I don't blame you. She like kind of coaxes him in and then hits him in the head with the radio.
Love that her reaction is like even more creepy dystopian than what she's seeing in front of her. And so what she says is like, did you grow me as food? And Mark's
Honestly, yeah,
kind
that's
of
it. And he's just
like,
like, no, we just bifurcated your memories. Don't worry about
yeah, then
it.
he's kind of like, why would we grow a whole human and paint your nails and stuff and put clothes on you? That doesn't make any sense.
I mean, that's kind of
Fair.
valid, but
Fair.
I don't know, false sense of security, perhaps.
Crazy.
Anyway, so. Yeah, she's very violent towards Mark, especially because Mark's the only one she's met yet, and he seems to be the one between her and freedom, according to her. It is mentioned before they start this very awkward, very corporate, very scripted interview that if she says, I would like to leave three times, she actually does get to be escorted to an exit. And so she gets to two asking to leave twice, and Mark defies management and is like, hey, asked to leave a third time and then
Ask
you can actually
him.
leave.
Yeah.
And she asks him to leave. He takes her to a stairwell and she keeps coming back. It's
Right.
like a loop. It seems like magical, but it's not. She actually is just leaving and coming back. What's happening is that stairwell, much like the elevator, switches you from an innie to an outie brain. And so she, as an innie, is leaving. She gets to the stairwell. Her outie takes over, and her outie's like, "No, I said I'd do this. We're doing this," and coming back and going back and forth and back and forth.
Yeah.
It,
She had
it,
her
her
brain
innie,
spiking on her,
yeah.
basically.
Her innie eventually gives up and just is like, "Fine, I guess I just have to accept this." And so she's taken to Miss Cobell. Cobell gives her the DVD.
Of her orientation, where she's actually telling herself, "You agreed to do this."
And 2 hours ago, you gave consent, and now this is what you're doing.
Yep.
It's also apparently irreversible. Lovely.
Yeah.
So
You
great
can
news
fuck
for
with my
Holly.
brain forever. Yay.
Yeah. I will say that there is a nice moment between Mark and Helly during this interview after she's hit him in the head with a radio of her him being like, "No, listen, I was him going away, going off script and just being like, 'Hey, listen, I was in your exact same situation. I was just as mad, just as scared, and I'm able to make this work. So if you just calm down, we can try to make this work for you too.'" And then she hits him again.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a nice moment for Mark to go off script. And but then again, he also gets in trouble with Miss Cobell because Miss Cobell is very by the book,
She,
very
yeah.
by the script,
And
very
you will find
corporate.
out why as things progress.
Of course.
So there's not much more to the orientation. At the end of the day, they leave. And Mark, once he is an outie, is getting ready to drive away. He nearly hits Helly, who is walking by his car,
But
and
doesn't recognize her.
neither of them recognizes each other. He gets home, and I've forgotten what happens before his sister shows up, but his sister shows up.
Well, he calls his neighbor, Mrs. Silvig, about his bin, her bins taking over the spot his bins are supposed to take. It's very, very suburban,
Petty.
very, very petty
Very good.
conversation, but it's clearly a conversation they've had several times. So he gives her a call, leaves a voicemail, and he's just drinking. He's basically an a depressed alcoholic at this stage. We don't know quite why yet, but then his sister comes over, and his sister's like, "Hey, did you forget? Oh, okay, yeah, it's a party." And then he, but it's
It's
a
a dinner
weird
party.
party.
A dinner party that's not a dinner party, as it turns out. But
They don't eat dinner. They just discuss that they're not eating dinner.
yeah, they're ethically not eating,
Oh my
or
God.
something along those lines, which
Something like that.
I get. There's.
You remember in Dairy Girls when, who was it? It was Claire who goes on that hunger strike
For like a
for,
hot minute.
no, for the kid in Africa who she's
Yeah.
raising money for. It's very similar, but without the actual like charity part.
It's very performative.
It's
It's,
very.
and everything involving this group of people, other than Mark and his sister, who seem to have a fairly normal sibling dynamic, they're all these pretentious. Well,
Philosophers and
they're kind of like
writers.
the I wrote down my thought about it, and then I lost it. They're pretentious. Yeah, they're pseudo-intellectuals. That's what I was thinking of. And they are acting like, "Oh, I learned something about World War I." And that was that they didn't call it World War I at the time. They called it the Great War. It's like, yeah, fucking duh.
There was not more than one at that point, so of course they didn't. And Mark points this out. It is mentioned at this quote dinner that he had a wife and she's dead. And they were both professors. He was a professor of history. She was a professor of Russian literature, which is a much more niche
Yeah,
topic.
super niche.
No, that is cool though. But apparently, yeah, his wife is dead, and it was mentioned in the car on with his sister on the way over that it's nearing an
The
anniversary,
anniversary,
and
yeah.
it's supposed from what we can get from just like the information we've gotten, it's probably her death anniversary.
Right.
Hence why he's depressed, hence why he probably got severed.
And also why he's drinking.
Yes.
But his brother-in-law, his sister's husband, is like the most performative and obnoxious of the people at the table. And I will say up front, he's the worst part for me.
Absolutely.
But he let's slip that Mark is working on the Severance floor at Lumen, and this becomes a major topic of discussion. But
Which he's clearly against. The brother-in-law is
oh
clearly
yeah,
against
very
ethically,
obviously.
morally, like
In every
everything
imaginable way,
being.
but we support you, Mark. And then everyone chimes in with this chorus of, we support you, Mark. It's like, oh my God, is this a 12-step meeting? What the hell is happening here? But it, again, there's this very, like social structured thing happening in his life on his outie life. And he's got this very corporate structured thing happening on his innie life. And it's interesting to see how both of them are terrible.
Yeah, they all suck. He seems to be in a better mood as an innie because he doesn't have the weight of the world and his wife's death on his shoulders. But it's still a very rigid life that he can't control. And that's essentially what Mark's whole open like his whole thing as a character is lack of control over his life. Which we'll be dissecting later. But yeah, he he's forced to stay over by his sister, who's pregnant, by the way. I honestly completely forgotten she was pregnant at
I did
all.
too, but she's massively pregnant.
She's like about to pop. And he's forced to sleep. And I'm gonna mention this because it's I don't think I'm gonna remember it when we actually get to the episode that addresses it, but he is sleeping in their future child's room that has a crib, a race car twin bed, and a big mattress, which they easily could have just let him put a pillow and quilt on, but didn't for
Well, because
reasons.
no, because the brother-in-law hasn't finished the big sheets that he's hand looming
Oh,
with some
right.
sort of Nordic or
It's Baltic.
Baltic cotton or some kind of craziness.
Baltic loom.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
Dude, shut the fuck up. It's a blanket.
It's like, get over yourself, but he's not.
Of course. Because apparently, if you just switch over a child as they grow up to a different bed, it could traumatize them. He makes fun of his sister for it later, so I'll let it slide. But,
But again, it shows the healthy dynamic between the two of them, or what I would call a healthy dynamic between the two of them, that, like, first of all, she's able to acknowledge how stupid this is, but she's, I guess, indulging her husband, and it's okay for him to make fun of her for
oh,
it.
absolutely. They seem to have that dynamic anyway. And then he can't sleep for obvious reasons. He's depressed, alcoholic, etc.
He sees someone outside.
Yeah. And it's a guy in business wear. Okay. Confusing.
And
But then
you
he
have to also note
disappears.
that it's like cold and snowy. There's snow on the ground.
Yeah,
Like,
they're in like a secluded cabin in the woods. Anyway, he goes home and he goes to dinner first, actually. We kind of skip a little bit of time. He's probably taken home by his sister. Then he goes out because I forgot to mention, since he got hit in the head with a radio and was bleeding and had a Band-Aid, they obviously have to address that with his outie. And so in as a form of workers' comp, he is given a gift card to a local bar and grill, which is the funniest shit I've ever heard.
And let's face
Oh
it,
my
the bar
God.
and grill ain't all that.
It's so funny. It's
It's
essentially a
like
diner.
corporately owned. It's like it's
Yeah,
this
his
kind
sister
of
doesn't seem
city.
surprised that that's where they,
Yeah, I
the most
mean,
dingy place they could have gotten a gift card to,
or it's
or
like an
it's owned by Denny's.
Applebee's.
I've seen nicer
I've
Applebee's.
seen ni much nicer Applebee's, honestly, and that's why I'm thinking maybe the corporation has this.
It looks more like a Waffle House to
And
me.
I'm going to note this because, again, I'm not going to remember it when the creepiness of this kind of it's a tell. He gets a call from his neighbor while he's there, and she is, they're talking about the bins again, and she's asking, "Well, where are you? And where are you having dinner? Are you by yourself?" Like
It's weird.
it's unnatural,
Very.
let's put it that way. And while he's there, he finishes his dinner. I'm sorry, he's finishing his dinner when the
Well,
same guy.
no, he's actually on the call while when
Oh,
the
I'm sorry.
guy pops up, but you're right. It's there where the guy from the woods
The
shows
night
up,
before.
tells him to hang up the phone, which he does. It's not like he's threatening him or anything. He's just like, it seems urgent. And so he has Mark hang up the phone. And he opens up with a line that Irving apparently always says in the morning. What's cooking? What's for dinner,
What's
kids,
for
or
breakfast,
something?
kids?
What's for breakfast? Something like that. And
Or what's cooking for dinner? It's something about food.
something like that. And he's just like, oh wait, no, you don't remember that, of course. It's just like, girl, dude, you've had so much time to think up a way to like talk to this guy, the severed guy. You should know better. This is Petey, by the way, his former coworker, unsevered.
So
He
he
found a way to
has.
bypass the implant.
So and what he says is, look, there's a lot that I know, everything they're telling. And the whole time Mark's like, so let me guess, you have escaped, you think they're after you? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, well, but did you file a complaint? And Petey says, we both did. And so you get this sense of there has been problems at work. That obviously Mark, there's no continuity to it because he's not there all the time, right? And he, aside from Petey, who is his friend, who's kind of like the institutional knowledge, maybe like the fact when they are together in the workplace, they would share thoughts about things. But with him gone, he doesn't have that kind of stimulus in the workplace, so he doesn't necessarily remember the problems that he's had. There are also other explanations that I think are going to come clearer later.
So he's like, okay, here's he slips him an envelope and it's just
Petey
like,
does. Petey slips it to me.
if I'm gonna give this information and I do want someone to know it, I want it to be my friend. And I think Mark is still trying to grasp that he has a friend because he's clearly very lonely.
He's clearly not bonding with these, like the people at this dinner. Like, there's some single girl they're trying to set him up with who's just like, oh
Who says
no.
maybe one thing and it's clearly like not gonna
She's
happen.
trying way too hard.
It's also if it's the death anniversary, it's been a year.
It's
I
like
think
not
he
the appropriate
reserves the
time.
chance to still be grieving. I think you can grieve for however long you'd like.
That's right.
You never really stop, do you?
No.
Anyway, that's a depressing thought. But he opens up the card and it's a random, like, I think it's a birthday card for a niece, which is very funny. There's a note on it in it that remarks upon that, and he's just like, yeah, sorry for the card, you'd have made a really awesome niece. And he
But he had to
essentially,
grab something, right?
it's essentially some of this similar things that he was talking about in the restaurant, but more like, I'm sorry, but if I'm not going to force any of this on you, but if you really do want to know what's going on at Lumen, go to the address that I put on the back of this card. And so he looks at the address and is just like, interesting.
4.99 half loop bread.
Yeah, I didn't write that down, but
I do.
cool. And then he so and then Mark's like, interesting, and then goes home, kind of ignoring it. And he pulls up, and Mrs. Silvig is there, his neighbor, who turns out to be Miss Cobell's Audi, if she even has one. We don't really know exactly at this point if she even has an Audi, or if Mr. Milchick does, or if any management does. Or an innie, I mean.
We don't know if they are severed. We know that obviously Mark S. and Helly and Petey have been severed. But part of what is kind of a giveaway or kind of a hint that something weird is up with Mrs. Selvig, aside from obviously she is the outie for Miss Cobell, is she has a different story about her mom. So as an innie, she is speaking to Mark about how he's been a bad boy by giving things away in the orientation or whatever. And she refers to her mother as being an atheist, and she says, there's good news and bad news about hell. The good news is that it is as bad as humans, it's only as bad as humans can imagine it to be, but the bad news is that what humans can imagine they can create. And the whole time Mark's like, I don't know what she's talking about. But on the outside, when she sees Mark and they're talking about their bins or whatever, she's like, oh, you're a good person. My mother was a Catholic. And
Says some platitude.
some platitude, right?
And I think in many ways that's a test. I think she's constantly testing him to see if he remembers anything from his innie status, which even if I did remember anything from my innie status, I wouldn't fucking tell you.
Yeah,
Like, I
clearly
wouldn't
you're not
correct
the
you on, oh, I thought your mother was an atheist.
yeah,
Like,
exactly. Like,
so I don't
no.
know if that's the, I think she's just a weird person anyway. So, I mean, like,
Oh, for sure, for sure.
she has
And
some
this
serious issues
performance is
anyway.
very interesting. So,
Very creepy.
yes.
I'm
No.
not going to say it's a bad performance, obviously, but
Well,
it's one that's off-putting,
it's
and
meant to
I
be.
know it's meant to be, and that's what makes it good, but it's
Yeah.
just like, oh.
Being a bit creepy. So that's pretty much the episode. Did you have best parts?
I did. Adam Scott sounding perfectly corporate and unnatural as an innie. I absolutely adore this in this show as a whole. This is going to probably be a best part at any point in which it happens, but this very manufactured, very awkward corporate speak is so fucking
It
funny to
is
me. It's
hilarious.
so funny because people genuinely talk like this sometimes, or at least, or like not to each other. But
Stakeholders.
like, yeah, no, not just that, but like just all
That's
the
like the
very
base level.
stilted ways of talking in the corporate world about
Oh.
like management and stuff like that. It's I was in the business college at school, and so I had to learn about a lot of this shit. And it is as stilted as it sounds, and it's why I'm like, okay, I will learn more from the real world. Because if I
Because
keep
people.
learning about these acronyms and these like this bullshit, like there are ac certain acronyms that make sense in other situations. But when I'm learning about all these different acronyms that people have for different things and like all that shit, it's just like, what? And
Yeah.
it's
Yeah.
just
It's.
for fun at that point. And it's a memory game and it's a whole thing, but it's not really needed in the real world. If you
No.
were to talk like this in the real world and not on the severed, just on the severed floor, everyone would look at you like you're fucking insane. And so what I love about it is they go full tilt on like full corporate. And
Yeah,
it's
they
so
are as
funny.
corporate as you can possibly get. And it's interesting to see, and we will see as this progresses, what Lumen is like for people who are outies. And it is an interesting thing. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
and it's also remarked upon like, what does Lumen do? Like, they were started in like the 1800s. They are in meds, but they're also in tech. And so they're kind
Yeah.
of a mixture of both. Hence why they were probably able to do this severance procedure. But yeah, it's confusing and it will not get any less confusing, really. But yeah, I really love when these actors, and these actors are particularly really, really good at this, of like making it sound as stilted and as unnatural as possible.
Mr. Milchick is the
He's
absolute
the
best at sounding
icon.
unnatural. Like
But he all but what I love about the difference is it's like,
he's all in.
yes, he will go for it and he is invested in it, and you can tell that he thinks he believes in it. Whereas when you have Mark say like all the scripted stuff to Helly, he doesn't believe in it. And so he's trying to like keep up, and he's just like, yes, but you don't, boy, do we have a thing for you, or something. It just sounds so unnatural. It's so funny.
Right, but he also tries to make the corporate speak, like he will change the words and he won't read it verbatim and that kind of thing. And just to make himself more approachable, like, and I'm using Helly in the orientation as an example. Like he's trying to like reach her on a personal level, and that's part of what he gets in trouble for.
Yeah.
So you immediately start to suspect the corporate structure because, like, hey, he got her to stay. That was pretty good, right? But that is not the whole goal.
Yeah.
And why is that not the whole goal?
Yeah. The music is properly creepy and sci-fi, and it's really cool, and I love it. Cinematography, beautiful. The symmetry of these shots is gorgeous, and there are so many like cool overhead shots they do, and I really like it. The use of space is really cool. It's why there's so much space on the cellared floor, so that they can, first of all, have spots for cameras, but also so that they can set up really interesting shots with making everyone feel small,
Yeah.
because in actuality they're meant to. Eerie feeling, just in general. I think that they're really good at creating that tone, and whether it be with the shots or with the music and the lighting, the lighting in particular is something that they really use later, but because of most of this is just fucking
Fluorescent hell.
fluorescent.
Fluorescent hell.
And then the corporate bullshit I find hysterical. It's so funny, and what I love about it is like there definitely is some comedy to, it's like more of a dramedy than it is, well, no, it's a drama,
It's a
but
drama.
it's definitely a drama, but like there is comedy elements to it, to not necessarily make it lighthearted, but to like add to the eeriness in a way.
Yes,
And what
yes.
I love about it is even though there are some comedic moments with like Mark and his sister that are genuinely funny, in the Severance Floor, most of it is just taken from the absurd language and situations that they find themselves in because they're forced to do corporate shit.
Well, and I, so are you done? Okay. So among my best parts, and I agree with all the things that you noted. Among my best parts is there is a mention by Irving that Petey was the only person who really understood Mark's sense of humor, which when we see his sense of humor in play as an outie with his sister, you get the feeling that some of it is that playing with the words. So Irving had to supervise this whole orientation thing, and Mark's like, "Do you think we have to read all this?" And Irving's like, "She deserves to get the same thing that everybody else got, including you." Like he's trying to buckle in and behave the way he's intended to, but the fact that Mark finds it funny as opposed to whatever, as we'll see, Irving, however Irving takes it, is part of what makes this performance endearing by Adam Scott. It makes him approachable. It makes him the person that we identify with. And again, the performance itself is really great. I think, there are great performances by a lot of pretty much all the actors
All
in
of them.
this. I do love the music. The juxtaposition of music, right? When we see Mark show up at work and there's this very creepy, sad, dystopian, bereft sounding high piano music playing, a little discordant. And then he goes down to the severance floor and it's 70s elevator music. But like it continues after he's off the elevator.
Also, there's such a labyrinth of hallways. It's again
Yes, and
very
it's all
corporate.
blank white partition material. It's create it looks like a very blank maze for rats. And that it makes everybody, I would think, who works in any kind of environment that looks like that, or ever has worked in any environment that looks like that, think twice about like, what the hell am I doing? Is this rat race worth it? What the fuck is Lumen, right? I think it is a really interesting world building thing. So what were your worst parts?
I only had one. The writers and philosophers at the party.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, and brother-in-law
They're the people I
particularly.
can't stand, you know?
Yeah, they're
Like,
very
there's one thing,
pretentious.
it's one thing to have a group of, like, quote, intellectuals talking. That's one thing. When you're as uptight and as fucking annoying as these people are, though, like, I know that's what they're making fun of, but it's just like, Jesus Christ, it's still, like, really hard to think that there are people out there like this.
Well, but it's also interesting, and right off the bat, I'm wondering why on earth did Mark's sister marry this guy? Because the brother-in-law is by far the worst of him. And you can tell that it was his idea to have this foodless dinner party. Like it, he seems very much in love with these very niche concepts. And he goes all in on all of them all the time. And it's very off-putting and I hate it. So yeah, I'd agree. Any other worst parts?
That's all I wrote down.
Okay, yeah, all of that. Honestly, it's interesting to me that I'm probably more offended by the social structure than I am by the corporate structure, just because the corporate structure we all know is terrible, whereas the social structure, I'm not sure everybody knows is terrible.
But
You know
you're
what I
stuck in
mean?
one structure or another at all times, which is annoying.
Yeah, it is. So, what grade did you give this episode?
I think it's a really solid beginning, so I'd give it an A minus.
Yeah, I think it's an A minus.
And
Is
it's not because like it doesn't deserve an A or whatever. It's just I know there are better episodes.
it right? It's not.
It's a
It's
very
not,
baseline episode where you're getting
right.
introduced to a
It
lot of
it's
stuff.
not. It doesn't have a cliffhanger. It doesn't. It's not. It's world
Well, kind
building.
of.
It's not. It has a little bit of one, but it's not, it doesn't have like the sense of urgency of, say, a first episode of Game of Thrones or something, or Peaky Blinders. So you there's curiosity but not urgency. And I think that's kind of that corporate mellows it out a little bit, like it takes the edge off in a way, and then as things progress, it's like, wait a minute, hey. And I think that's gonna be some of the tone that we're gonna be
Once we
most
peel away
liking.
more of the corporate curtain, that's when things get really exciting.
Yep. But we have a lot more Severance to come, and we hope that you join us. And
Cheers.
cheers.